This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and flunkies, welcome back to the NWA Saturday Special. This is the number one NWA, the new NWA podcast in the entire world. We have a lot to cover here tonight. What an action-packed week here in the NWA, and as they move towards the pay-per-views at the end of August, which I'm getting excited for, but I tell you, they're keeping us. We were wondering if they were going to keep us busy or, you know, keep the storylines going, you know, since they announced it and it was going to be about a 2-month period of time before the pay-per-views, but they're doing a great job. The NWA 73, looking forward to it. The Empower pay-per-view. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. But I got to break this all down tonight. Can't do it alone. Got to bring in my partner. And that is the Podfather himself, Scott Criscolo. Good evening, or good morning, I should say.
Good always.
I got my iced coffee ready to go here.
Day, night, lunar eclipse, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's so great to talk to you tonight because we have a lot to break down.
I would say that this episode this week, Doctor, is the NWA Super Saturday Special.
Yeah.
Super
you know
Saturday
what?
Special.
You know, I wish I would have thought of that when I was opening up, but I didn't. So, oh, well, you thought of it. So that's
I didn't think of Sirico's Restaurant either.
That is so true. So not all the time. We don't always get it correct. But I'll tell you, this is an action-packed week. And,
yes.
we really... You know, we were getting a little skeptical, you know, based on this champion series. But now that things are coming into more of a focus, I'm actually – remember I said I was going to give it another week? I really enjoyed it this week.
Yeah, I did too. And
I took it for what it was worth and said, you know what, let's just enjoy it instead of overthinking it. Sometimes right. I think as wrestling fans we overthink things, you know?
You think? You overthink? Yes, you're correct. It's been a kind of a crazy end of the week, Doctor, not just in the NWA, but of course there was a ton of releases. If you're listening to this on Saturday, there were a ton of releases yesterday in WWE. I don't know what the fuck's going on over there. I don't know what they're doing. The big rumor that I've heard is they are actually selling and they're cutting the roster down and making it look more attractive by not having as many guys, which I think is fucking ridiculous, but that's the rumor that I've heard. Not that we're going to talk about that.
I know. And just quickly on that, I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, if the WWE sold, it's going to be one of the biggest entertainment purchases in history, if you think about it. It's not – I mean, obviously it's not – you know, I guess when Disney was sold, but that was years ago, you know. But this is going to be a very, very, very big property. That's going to go. And I think Vince will not do it unless he knows he could set up his family, you know, from after he's gone, you know, to be fair to the rest of his family. So I think it's got to be the right price. And also probably I would think a consulting role where everybody could still stay involved in the family. But
well,
I don't know how
that's
going to work because he doesn't like to listen to anyone. So I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a wrestling perspective, if this were to happen, I don't think Triple H and all them would. I think you got to have guys run the company or run the.
I think definitely Stephanie and Triple H will get contracts, but you know, they're going to have to abide by, you know, the rules of that company. You know, like, it's not going to have, they're going to have that same freedom. Now, understand, it is a public company now, so obviously Vince could obviously still take risks, but not the same risks he did when he, you know, when he was the sole owner.
True, true.
So anyway, it's going to be interesting. I mean, no, it's, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. It's definitely something that is on the table, and I think we have to, you know, as wrestling fans, you know, everybody thinks, you know, oh, the grass is going to be greener. I don't know, guys. You know, you start bringing in a company that, you know, they're not wrestling people. Now, granted, Vince always wanted to make it entertainment, but there's still that wrestling, you know, so who knows? That doesn't mean it's going to be a great thing.
No, I don't think so either. And I think a lot of people would be very nervous about that. You know, but who knows?
Yep.
I'm just saying that it just seems weird that they're just randomly cutting the shit out of. Yeah, usually you get those one cut a year after WrestleMania of like six or seven guys. But this I would say between WrestleMania and now, how many guys have been cut or both?
Now, that will help the smaller companies.
Almost 20?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane, the names. But that should help the smaller companies.
Sure.
In a way.
Because eventually, you know, AEW is going to have to realize they're not going to be able. What's their roster going to be? You know,
guys,
900
AEW,
guys.
So AEW is going to, they're going to pick pieces. They're going to pick maybe some guys that need some seasoning that, you know, eventually could, you know, they could build through the ranks. And then they're going to grab some of the big names, but they're not going to get all these guys. You still have Impact out there. You have the NWA out there. You have a lot of these small indie promotions out there. There is work. If once, you know, I mean, obviously now we're trying to deal with this Delta variant, but, you know, when COVID is kind of going away, and, you know, we are starting to get back to normal somewhat, and there's crowds again, a lot of these companies will be coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Ring of Honor will make a little bit of a comeback. So there's places for these guys to go. Now, mm-hmm. Are they going to make the big-time money that WWE pays? No, but some of these guys that are from NXT weren't having gigantic contracts. So they – think about it. WWE trained these guys. Mm-hmm. So they're seasoned, a little bit more seasoned. They did the training, and now, you know, these companies could reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it in different aspects. But for those that are AEW fans – AEW can't sign all these guys. They don't have enough programming to sign it. I mean, listen, they got a nice sweet deal going on there. Those guys work one day a week for the most part. I mean, maybe eventually they'll add some house shows, but, you know, for the most part, they only work one, maybe the most of the 2 days a week. I mean, some of them do work on the indies, but you know what I'm saying? Like, with mm-hmm. the company itself, so they're getting these big contracts, but they're not having to kill themselves.
Right. No, I agree.
It's going to be interesting. The wrestling landscape is very interesting, but I try to look at it in a positive way for us who covered the NWA, that maybe we could get some of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, some of these NXT guys to join the NWA ranks. I mean, you know, I know we're going to get into some of this, but, you know, now Busch Light came on to be a sponsor for the, the Empower and the NWA 73 podcast. A podcast. I keep saying podcast. Pay-per-view.
You got to stop drinking iced coffee during these shows. You see, yeah. I'm better. See, I'm the more jazzed up one, and you're usually the very mellowed one. When they're in reverse, it's a train wreck.
Ah, shut up.
So no. you need to be level-headed, really, I need to be the exuberant one, but that's okay. I agree. And
I mean, it's exciting that they have a sponsor. I mean, this is, you know, listen, you can make fun of, you know, because obviously as beer drinkers, we could sit and make fun of Busch Light. Of course, we can make fun of it all we want. But, you know, Anheuser-Busch is a big company. And to have the NWA be spot, that's a good sign. That's a good sign out there that they're being able. Now, obviously, they're in St. Louis. So, you know, that's probably the main reason, but whatever it takes, let the more money that comes into the, you know, into the company, mm-hmm. the better chance they get to be able to sign some of these guys that have been released. That's the way I look.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, and I know we have Go ahead. I know you're probably going to get into what I was going to say. So,
well, what I was going to say was, which I probably wasn't, but we'll be talking all about this in the coming weeks. As I mentioned, we have had a hiatus from Place Me Nation's main event for, you know, personal family stuff. But next week we will have an episode, which will be our newest, our most recent TNA Classic pay-per-view recap. But then the following week, we'll be back with current stuff as we will be previewing SummerSlam, speaking of WWE. So main event will be returning. It's been a little bit on hiatus due to some, you know, personal stuff, but we will be returning. We'll be talking about all these things.
And hopefully, guys, we, you know, hope and pray that these shows, all these big shows that are coming up for, you know, both companies, the big two big companies, and I guess you got to think about NWA.
We got to think about everything. I think another thing.
But let's hope with all this going on in the world that you know, plans don't change. But we're going to be positive and say that everything is going to go as is and go from there. But, you know, you always have to keep that, unfortunately, in the back of our minds.
And we have to one of the new things that I want to start doing, and this isn't a knock on either WWE or AEW, but to me, all promotions are promotions. They've all got mouths to feed. They've all got, so I don't go by big two, little four. To me, I call them the six pack. That's what I've been calling them. WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact, and NWA. They're the six pack of wrestling promotions. And they're all going to get impacted, no pun intended, but they can all benefit. We're going to have three consecutive weekends of big wrestling. We've got SummerSlam weekend. The following weekend is NWA weekend. And then the weekend after that is Labor Day weekend, which, of course, is AEW All Out, which, of course, has become a big deal because of signings and rumors and that kind of jazz. So,
Yeah, and the excitement for AEW, I mean, their advanced sales, even up in this area, you know, which is kind of, you know, new for them, is really doing well. And again, part of it is that the excitement of the possibilities of guys coming up from WWE, but also people want to get out. People want to go to things. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the chance to get everybody is now, because people are just chomping at the bit to do stuff.
Yes.
Yep. So and NWA sold out. I mean, I don't know what the size is.
It's not going to be huge, but I'm sure they're making some good scratch, because don't forget, it's four days. We have the women's pay-per-view Saturday the 28th. We have NWA 73 on Sunday the 29th, and then 2 days of Power tapings, Monday the 30th, Tuesday the 31st. So 4 days of shows in St. Louis. Yep. So they're going to make some good scratch in those 4 days.
I'm really excited about it, and they're doing a better job on the shows and putting in the promos, you know, pumping up the pay-per-view,
right?
Better than they did last time. So, you know, obviously they're looking to get better numbers from, you know, unfortunately we don't get as much NWA news in terms of the, you know, amount of pay-per-view sold and all that as we do for the big companies, but
right.
I heard it wasn't that great the last one. So,
all right.
So we'll see. I mean, but you know, let's hope for good things. Let's hope that we got exciting end of the month in all of wrestling, and let's hope that things go as scheduled, and everybody can have a good time, and we have some great shows.
I agree. Before we do that, though, because we have, as I mentioned, it is a Super Saturday special this week, because we have not one but two powers to recap. Yes, not only did we have our regular episode of Power on Tuesday night, but if you're listening to this on your Saturday morning with your coffee, yesterday, Friday, the NWA YouTube channel released an extra episode of Power, not a skimpy one. This episode was like 58 minutes. So we had two long episodes of Power this week with a lot of stuff going on. So we are going to get to both of those shows. However, I don't think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the two deaths that occurred in wrestling. I hate mentioning deaths, don't we, Doctor? But sadly, not one, but two lost in the wrestling family. One that almost everybody knows, which we'll get to second. But there was one earlier in the week that was really sad. And he's a guy that I remember, and I was watching him on Mid-Atlantic and NWA, but he was everywhere. Jody Hamilton passed away earlier in the week at the age of 82. For those that wonder who he is, because they're like, I don't remember a wrestler named Jody Hamilton. Well, he was the Assassin. So one of the great masked wrestlers of the 70s and 80s. He also was the Flame, but he was mostly known as the Assassin. Of course, he was with a tag team, the Assassins. He tagged with Tom Renesto in GCW, Georgia, of course, Georgia Championship. He was big in Georgia. He was a big Georgia guy. Not Mr. Wrestling 2. That's different. He also just passed away. But not Mr. Wrestling 2. That's different. The Assassin was a bigger dude. He was in Deep South. He was in Crockett for a little while. And then after he retired, he actually went to the power plant and trained. Apparently, he was part of the training of Big Show, Kevin Nash, DDP, Goldberg. He did appear. His last on-screen appearance was at Starrcade 93, managing Pretty Wonderful, Paul Roma.
He helped run the power plant.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said that. And yeah. He trained Kevin Nash, DDP, Goldberg. Yep. And he also was inducted into the WCW Hall of Fame. Obviously, the power plant closed when WCW got bought by WWF, but he did train still.
He's a guy that you would hear, you know, a lot in the wrestling business, you know, especially on the WCW side in terms of training. I mean, the guy was had a wealth of knowledge. I don't know what he was doing in the recent years. I mean, obviously he was older, but I don't know if he was involved.
In 2005, WWE reached an agreement with him wherein he could open a new version of Deep South Wrestling for WWE to use as a training ground. The company ran shows on a regular basis featuring WWE contracted talent until April 18th, 2007, when they ended their relationship. Deep South ceased operations the next day. And then there was a lawsuit. In April of 2009, he filed a lawsuit against WWE in Fulton County, Georgia, over how the working agreement with his promotion was terminated. His attorney claimed that WWE, quote, fraudulently contrived a reason to end the agreement without giving the 90 days notice that was required in the contract. The suit also claimed that WWE illegally entered the Deep South building in McDonough, Georgia, and took property belonging to Hamilton. It also claims WWE Executive Vice President John Laurinaitis warned that any wrestlers who continue to work with Deep South would never work in the business again. Two unnamed professional wrestlers who were under contract at the time confirmed Hamilton's claim that Laurinaitis made the threatening speech. WWE attempted to get the lawsuit dismissed where it went to trial, but were not successful. On January 22nd, 2010, Hamilton did settle out of court and was not disclosed. I don't either. A little known fact. Jody Hamilton's son was Nick Patrick.
Yes. I knew that.
And he died in hospice at the age of 82 on August 3rd. So rest in peace, Jody Hamilton, the Assassin, one of the most well-known masked wrestlers of all time. Was the Assassin in your neck of the woods down in Florida? Obviously, he was a big Georgia guy.
But I remember him more for like Georgia Championship Wrestling or, you know, NWA. I don't remember him down in Florida, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I do remember, you know, reading the magazines when I was a kid. You always, you know, knew of the Assassin. I gotten to know more of them, you know, obviously, I listening to podcasts over the last 10 years and how influential he was behind the scenes after his career ended.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't know a lot about this Deep South stuff either. But and now the more devastating death, not more, but just because this guy was obviously more well known and and he was, and I'm sure you guys obviously have talked about him extensively on NWA Croc and Roll, and you and I talked about him on some of our history episodes last year. The wrestling world lost one of the most underappreciated wrestlers in the history of this business. I know everyone says Billy Gunn is one of the best tag team wrestlers of all time, but this guy needs to be up in that like top five realm as probably one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time and one half of one of the greatest tag teams of all time. I am, of course, talking about the pride of Huntsville, Alabama, Bobby Eaton, died at the age of just 62 earlier this week. Bobby, of course, was one half of probably a top five all-time tag team. Of course, I am talking about the Midnight Express. But he tagged with Arn Anderson. I mean, Bobby Eaton was one of those guys, just put a guy in the corner and he's fine. Had some singles matches, but primarily throughout most of his career, he was a tag wrestler. And he, of course, was in one of yours and my favorite factions of all time, the Dangerous Alliance. But his time with Dennis Condrey and Stan Lane, and of course Jim Cornette, you could argue, Dr. G, that the Midnight Express were probably a top five team of the 80s and maybe a top 10 team of all time.
No doubt. And Bobby Eaton was a big part of that. Now, again, having Jimmy Cornette as your manager, you didn't need to be great on the stick. So we know that wasn't his forte. But you put him in the ring with anyone, and I know we always goof about, oh, a good hand, but that's exactly what he was. I mean, but a good hand that took it to another level. You know, but he could work with anyone. I mean, he could work with Ric Flair. He could, you know, this is a guy that just had a wrestling acumen that is really could be just about unmatched by anyone in that period of time in the mid to late 80s. Because look at how he worked with Dennis Condrey. Look at how he worked with Stan Lane. He could work with Arne. I mean, just phenomenal. And any one of them will tell you, any of his partners will tell you that he was just the easiest guy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And besides his wrestling, which we all loved, and he didn't do flips and all this stuff. He didn't do anything crazy. He just was a good with the psychology, good with the technical wrestling, good with, he's just so well-rounded. But
absolutely.
The thing about him is he was a great person, you know, out of the ring.
Yeah, he was.
You'll hear stories that, you know, when he would ride with the guys, he'd come out of the gas station, make sure he had sodas for everybody, or he would, you know, always buy something for everybody that he was traveling with. You know, if he saw, you know, like some homeless people or whatever out on he would go in the store and he would buy them food and make sure that they were taken care of. That's just the type of person he was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't hear, you don't know of anybody that could say a bad word about Bobby Eaton.
Yep, I agree.
You know, just a good person, and it's sad because he just lost his wife about a month ago.
Yep.
You know, which is Bill Dundee's daughter.
Yep, Donna.
Now, what happened was is Bill Dundee, they had to hide it for a while. Bill Dundee didn't want his daughter dating anybody in the wrestling business. But then when he found out that it was Bobby Eaton, he was okay with it because Bobby Eaton was such a good guy.
Yep, absolutely.
And I don't know the whole story. I guess he had taken a fall. A couple weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So he had been in bad.
Sadly, he had been in poor health for a while.
Probably in the last like 6-7 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there was a story one time where he they thought he ran away or something like that, and then they found him. I don't know if he got disoriented, or I remember there was a story about that maybe like 5 years ago or something. So he's definitely had some health issues, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But I, you know, his wife just died a month ago. I heard he really obviously took it very, very, very hard. So I feel bad. I know. I think they, a couple of people started a GoFundMe for him, because unfortunately, like many of the wrestlers in those days, they don't, you know, these guys don't get pensions and they don't have, you know, retirement plans, a lot of them from those days. And unfortunately, he didn't have a lot of money. So, you know, there's a GoFundMe out there for Bobby Eaton. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it'll go to his daughter. I don't know how many kids he had, but I know he definitely had a daughter, because that's who's
taking three
care of his funeral arrangements.
Justin, okay, Dylan, so and Parent.
Okay. Yeah, and one of his daughters.
Dylan's a wrestler. Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, rest in peace, Bobby. You know, he definitely definitely left a mark on the wrestling business, and I know there's a lot of Mick Foley wrote something really nice on his Facebook. I mean, the outpouring of, you know, on social media from many of his peers was phenomenal. So, and he deserved it. So, you know, thanks for the memories, Bobby. You know, you'll always be remembered, and always you'll always be able to watch him on the WWE Network or Peacock Network, and be able to watch the greatness of Bobby Eaton. You know, it makes me actually, you know, after I heard, you know, I wanted to go and watch some of his stuff, you know, on YouTube, just because he's one of those guys that sometimes flies under the radar. But then when you really break it down, and, you know, now that we do a lot of these different shows and we're watching, you know, like even on Croc and Roll, like even Arn Anderson, how much more, I mean, I always loved Arn, but I just gained so much more respect from, because you're really watching, watching, you know, watching it from a different perspective than when you watched it the first time.
Correct.
I mean, you do it all the time. You've been doing this for many years on podcasts. Like, do you ever get a different perspective the second, you know, watching it at your age now compared to when you watched it 20 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of guys that I didn't pay attention to when I was, you know, a young moron wrestling fan, like all of us dopes were when we were in our teens or whatever. Now you look at them differently. Yeah, sure, we're a bunch of jamokes now who think we're fucking geniuses, but we're not. We're a bunch of boobs. But
exactly.
But we, you know, we do appreciate matches better. Like, for instance, we always knew that the Midnight Express are one of the greatest tag teams of all time. But Bobby and Arn, like, everyone thinks Arn only worked good with Ole and with Tully. Let me tell you something. Arn and Bobby were fucking amazing.
They were
an amazing tag team, you know.
Arn, you know, again, and having Arn and Bobby together, wow. Whew.
Yeah.
I mean, and you figured, okay, so Dennis Condrey left the Midnight Express. Oh, wow, you know, a lot of trouble. And they brought in Stan Lane. Stan Lane was a tag team wrestler with Steve Kern and the Fabulous One. So he was a seasoned tag team wrestler. You put those two guys together, and they didn't even really skip a beat. They really didn't.
Yep, I agree.
So, and again, Bobby was just so smooth. You know, even when you would just see him, though, just the way he worked with everyone. Even when he did a little singles run for a little while, and you know, again, because he didn't have that personality that everybody was looking for, that big personality which the 80s were known for, but. Nobody, he could work with anyone in the ring. I mean, you know, you want to put him with Ricky Steamboat, put him with Ricky Steamboat. You want to put him with Ric Flair, no matter who you put him with, he was going to give you a 5-star match.
Yeah, absolutely. His resume, I mean, speaks for itself. He was actually a past Georgia television champion. So he did have some single success at times in his career. International, the IWC, not the Internet Wrestling Community, the International Wrestling Cartel Tag Team Champions. In Crockett, he was 3-time U.S. Tag Team Champion, 3-time World Tag Team Champion. He won the TV title in Crockett as well, in WCW. Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions with Ricky Nelson. In Continental, Southern Tag Team titles 4 times. He won the CWA World Heavyweight title. He was an 11-time Mid-America Heavyweight Champion, 6-time Mid-America Tag Team Champion, 6-man tag team title. So he was big in Mid-Atlantic, in Continental, which is, of course, the Fullers. Mid-South, 2-time champs with Mid-South. Tag team champions in NWA Bluegrass, NWA Rocky Top, Smoky Mountain, TV title. World Class, yes, they won the world. So you talk about the Road Warriors. But yeah, they may not have been in the WWF, but Midnight Express won the world tag titles in Mid-South, Crockett, and World Class. They won major promotions, major tag team titles in 3 different promotions as well, just like the Road Warriors did. So,
and you know, he had that little run with the Blue Bloods with Steven Regal when he was Earl Robert Eaton,
Squire Dave Taylor, and of course, Lord Steven Regal. Loved that. I loved the theme. The theme was awesome. One time. This is probably because, sadly, the dominance of the Road Warriors. Midnight Express only won PWI Tag Team of the Year once, 1987.
You know, tag team wrestling in the 80s was so great, but that doesn't discount the fact that, you know, Midnight Express worked with a lot of these teams that won those awards. So, you know, you don't have the great opponents, and, and they were just so great. And then you add Cornette. You got to give Jim Cornette, whether you like what he has to say about wrestling and, you know, agree with his opinions. He is just so good. He's so entertaining that he brought that team to another level, because again, you had guys in that team that really weren't great on the stick. So he did that for them and let them do the work in the ring, and which they always did. And, wow, I just, you know, it makes you want to go back and watch some Midnight Express stuff.
I watched some yesterday, actually. Or
Thursday. I did the other day myself. But, you know, rest in peace, Bob Eaton. You know, he gave us some great memories, and, you know, thoughts and prayers out to his family, because what a rough month, especially for his children, you know, to lose their mother and father within a month. That's,
I know, very sad.
That's rough.
Yes, absolutely. In 1992, in the PWI 500, he was 27. And this, to me, this is pure respect for
wrestler. Wow, I forgot about that. Wow, that's to be in the, you know, the top 30 in the world.
Well,
of wrestling at that time.
Yeah, well, take this into account too. When they did the 2003 PWI years, the top 500 of all time, right. You know where they had him? A tag team wrestler. 91. So if you think about the PWI years, which was what, 80, I think 81 to 03. In PWI's eyes, only 90 wrestlers were better than him.
Not bad for, you know, him being a tag team wrestler, but let me tell you, I mean, if he was a singles guy, I think probably the thing, he would have had to have a manager. And I know he had some nice singles runs, but he could have probably had some better singles runs. But you know, the '80s, the problem was the '80s is, you know, he wasn't a body guy, and everything became about the look. Mm-hmm. So in the tag team, you know, especially that Stan had a great look. So, and with Cornette, you know, it kind of offset that, but it was very, very tough in the '80s. You know, you had to be that typical 80s body, they are on the, like the Hogans, the Rudes, the, you know, those guys,
right?
Luger. But listen, never discount what he did in his career. And, you know, he should be remembered fondly, and it's, you know, it's great to have the Peacock Network to watch WWE and go back and watch all the, stuff from WCW and, you know, basically almost his whole career.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Rest in peace, Bob Eaton, one of the greatest of all time, and left us way too soon at the age of 62. All right. This definitely is a Super Saturday special because we've already been talking.
It is, but it's
over
all right.
Half an hour, and we haven't even gotten to the powers yet. But again, we wouldn't be doing anybody justice if we didn't get a chance to talk about the legacy.
No, especially people. That Bobby Eaton was a great NWA wrestler. So you
absolutely
have to.
Yep. Same thing with Jody Hamilton with the Assassin.
Yes.
Well, so all right, time to get down to business. Not one, but two episodes of Power this week. The episode that aired Tuesday night on Fight TV, and the special bonus episode that was on the NWA YouTube channel that dropped on Friday. Probably smart to have.
Nice little surprise because the National Treasure.
Exactly.
Itself.
It was a Strictly Business.
It was
episode.
Brought to you by the National Treasure.
Of course it was, which means it's great. And exactly. And also, in all seriousness, also for you, Doctor, because you've been talking about, you know, having to pay for power and stuff. I think this was a good chance to have a free show again on YouTube to, you know, maybe get some more viewers and get some more $5 a month subscriptions. So. All right, so let us go to the GPB studios Tuesday night for the regular episode of Power. Your commentators, Nancy Grace himself, Joe Galli, Tim Storm, and Velvet Sky. Thanks to my buddy Josh Lopez for helping me transcribe. Here are the rules for the Champions Series, in case you forgot. If your superstar wins a match, 5 points. If there's a draw, Each participant gets 2 points, and if there's a DQ, the winning team gets 3 points. Should a bracket end in a deadlock, the NWA governing body will award a round one tiebreak to whichever team should win their contest in the shortest time. So here we go. Our first match of the night, Pitts from Team Camille and Idol, Kenzie Page, and from Team Aaron Taryn, Lady Frost. I like Lady Frost a lot. I think we're going to see her in a big match at the Empower pay-per-view.
I agree.
And we, for the first time, we actually saw some heel work that led to a defeat. Frost stands on the back of Paige's neck, then a blistering chop. Paige shoves Frost. Frost chokes her out with her boot. Frost hits a fisherman suplex for a two count. Talks smack to Paige. Paige unloads two knife-edge chops. Frost drives her knee into the midsection. Frost with two corner spears. Frost with a rising knee strike. Then Paige ducks a clothesline from Frost. Paige with a chop forearm combo. Paige ducks a clothesline from Frost. Frost delivers the windmill kick. Frost lands the moonsault for a two count, but she lifted Kenzie Page up. She had the three count. She lifted Kenzie Page up, the old school heel way of doing things. Frost argues with the ref, and then Page hooks an inside cradle out of nowhere and steals the victory. So Team Camidol, Camille and Austin Idol with 5 points as Kenzie Page gets the win. Team Aaron Taryn not happy that Lady Frost blew the chance for a win by being pompous and taking and not going for the three count, and instead pulling her up on two. But not a bad match. Good match between two expert women's wrestlers. Not too bad.
Yeah, and definitely, again, in this tournament, even though depending on what team they're on, you know, they mixed everybody up, they're developing their characters a bit. So now you're starting to see that Lady Frost has those heel tendencies. And it cost her the match.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this having a rematch here. I wouldn't be surprised. You see those two down in the future. I don't know if it'll be at the Empower pay-per-view, but I could see definitely a rematch. But I thought it was good when you started seeing, you know, her pulling up. You kind of saw, okay, most likely Kenzie's going to win this one because she's going to get sloppy or, you know, get too full of herself. And
mm-hmm.
But Not bad. I enjoyed it. I mean,
I did too.
I think the
show seemed very. I also noticed that there was a ton of energy on the show. Like the small was crowd a ton really of, was, I mean, loud.
There was. I think people seem to be really, really into the matches. I think adding like the team members coming out.
Yes,
kind of adds it adds a little bit more to the especially because, you know, it probably wouldn't have make that much of a difference if you're in a big arena, but being on the in the studio show, I think it actually adds a little bit to the to the ambiance of the match, if you want if you will.
Sure. No, absolutely. I agree 100%. So our second match we have from Team Sweet Charlotte, Nick Aldis and Melina, Crimson, one of my favorite guys, versus on Team Pope and Velvet, the Mystery Man, apparently, you know, Billy Corgan's handpicked guy. I wasn't sure what to expect out of this match, but boy, was this match a ton of fun. And the crowd was hot. Crimson was beating the shit out of him for most of this match, but he kept kicking out. He got slammed on the cement. It was crazy back and forth. Last few minutes of action, Mystery, we'll just call him Mystery, applied a rear chin lock, then hammers down on the back of Crimson's neck. Mystery hits a blistering chop, then punches Crimson in the back. He repeatedly whips Crimson into the turnbuckles. But then Crimson comes out with the exploder suplex into the turnbuckles for a two count. Mystery's fighting from underneath. Crimson hits the Death Valley driver. Crimson's hitting some big moves. Mystery regroups on the outside. Then Crimson with some forearm shivers. The Mystery Man fires back with two knife-edged chops. Crimson hits a throat thrust. Crimson body slams Mystery Man on the floor. Rolls him back into the ring, but he kicks out of the two count. Mystery decks Crimson with a back elbow smash. Mystery Man with clubbing blows to Crimson's back. Then Crimson headbutts him. Crimson then connects with a diving elbow drop for two. Mystery denies the Death Valley driver a second time. Then Mystery hits a power bomb for two. Then the single leg crab. And just as it looked like Crimson was going to tap out, the bell rang, and we had a time limit draw. So you knew we were going to have at least one draw in this champion series if it kept getting mentioned. So I do,
and I think it's a smart way to go. You didn't want Crimson to lose in this situation, but you also didn't want this Mystery Man, because obviously they're going somewhere with that. That's going to be a big storyline going forward. I have no idea who this guy is.
I don't either. I still can't figure it out.
I actually enjoyed the match. I really did.
I thought it was great. I love the match. Oh yeah, absolutely.
They, you know, at times in there, they were beating the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm. No, they absolutely were.
Mostly Crimson, but, you know, towards the end, then obviously Mystery, I think both guys were winners coming out of the match.
Yep.
You know, I think even though it was a time limit draw, which is fine because with the tournament, you have to, you know, you mentioned it in the rules, so you might as well have a match that has it. And I think this was the perfect match to have that in. Mm. Two guys that are kind of hot, you don't want to. It was hard to say, okay, who's going to lose that match right now as you're building these guys up. So yep. Perfect way to call it in that aspect. I know, yep. I know. As fans, we hate seeing time limit draws, but you know, if you don't do it all the time, I don't have a problem with it.
Yep, and it gives each team 2 points. So,
exactly.
Yep. Obviously, there's breaks in between our usual commercial breaks. We're not getting. Our third match of the night, back to Team Aaron Taryn. Actually, this was the fun one. It was a fatal four-way match. Between the four alternates. And the way this worked was the winning alternate worker would give 7 points to his team. The guy that gets pinned, his team loses 3 points. So Big deal here. So Team Aaron Taren had Jordan Clearwater. Team Page and Pope, Team Pope and Velvet had Colby Carino. Team Kamidal had Sal Renaro. And Team Treasure had Jeremiah Plunkett. So a fun little four-way, fun little back and forth, all four guys. Of course, we love Colby Carino. Good heel, good loud mouth. He was, and the funny thing with this small crowd is, Doctor, you could hear Colby Carino's jaw jacking, which I always think is pretty cool. In the climax, Clearwater rocks Carino with a forearm smash. Clearwater decks Plunkett with a back elbow smash. Clearwater kicks Plunkett in the face, then throws Carino back into the ring. Sal Renaro with a flying double crossbody block, diving clothesline body avalanche party. So a lot of moves there. Stereo Bulldogs. Then Renaro delivers his combination offense. Renaro with a jawbreaker. Uppercuts Clearwater. Then hits the handspring stunner. Clearwater responds with a spinebuster for two. Carino with a spin kick. Carino with the Samoan drop. He pops back to his feet. Hits a somersault senton splash for two. A forearm exchange. Then Plunkett kicks Carino in the chest. And hits a big DDT for the win. So Jeremiah Plunkett wins the four-way match. Which means Team Treasure got 7 points. Meanwhile, Team Pope Velvet lost 3 points. So, big deal there.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I was kind of shocked at who won the match.
Yeah, I am too.
I was kind of shocked that Plunkett won the match.
Yeah,
Carino is I think he's a, I think the NWA, it's going to be hard to keep a hold of him, but I think he's got a future with the company. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely think so. He might be a guy. He could definitely be a future TV. I don't know about a world champion, but I think he could be a future TV champion, maybe even a national champion.
Or a national champion even.
Yep. So, big win for Jeremiah Plunkett and a big win for Team Treasure. Nick Aldis and Molina. All right, our next regular match, Pitts, Team Kamidal with Kratos and Team Aaron Taren's Tyrus in a Block A matchup. Of course, Austin Idol went on commentary, was jaw-jacking that, you know, it's a win-win for him because he either gets points for his team or his guy wins. I was looking forward to this match most, Doctor, because it's two Haas's, and you know how I am about big Haas matches. Tyrus was kind of playing up a, you know, chicken shit heel. He didn't feel like wrestling, yada, yada, yada. The crowd on the outside of the two teams was distracting. As a matter of fact, at one point, the referee kicked Aaron Stevens out from the ringside area. Tyrus hitting blows to Kratos. Then uses the middle rope as a weapon. Tyrus chokes Kratos with his knee, then punches Kratos in the back. Tyrus rakes Kratos' back, then puts the knee on the back of Kratos' neck, mauling him in the corner. Referee admonishes him. Lady Frost slaps Kratos behind the ref's back. Tyrus with an Irish whip. Kratos then comes back and kicks Tyrus in the face, then hits a flying clothesline for one. He applies a rear chin lock. Kratos with some clubbing knee drops. He delivers a gut punch. Tyrus sends Kratos to the corner, clotheslines him, and then connects with the elbow drop to pick up the win. So the win for Tyrus, and that's 5 points for Team Aaron Taren. Match was okay. I was expecting it was more. But
I understand what they're trying to do with Tyrus here, but wow, maybe I was missing something. I just thought he looked better in the ring when he was in his WWE days and maybe even some of the Impact days, but he's still trying to get that ring rust off. He gets winded very fast, right? I wasn't a five-star guy even in WWE, but I thought at least sometimes he put on some better matches, but I don't know. I can understand where they're going with it character-wise, but ring-wise, this match was kind of disappointing, I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was disappointed as well.
It was a little sloppy to me.
Yeah, I was too. I was expecting more of a Haas fight here. But 5 points for Team Aaron Taren. And our final match, of the night, pits Slice Boogie from Team Treasure.
Slicer.
and Jax Dane is new little buddy there for Team Pope Velvet. So big match here, big points, because after this match, two teams will be eliminated, and we get down to the finals this coming Tuesday. This match was a lot of fun, and I always love watching Slice Boogie wrestle because he's another one that does a lot of talking and jacking. So this was a lot of fun. Slice Boogie kind of played the heel here, jaw jack with the ref a lot. Boogie applies a front face lock, then runs Dane flips around, runs Boogie into the turnbuckles. They do a shoulder block sledgehammer exchange. Boogie delivers the missile drop kick for two, then applies a rear chin lock. Dane displaying his fighting spirit. Dane with two headbutts, then hits Boogie with a back elbow smash. Boogie with a corner clothesline, then goes for the stinger splash. But Dane counters with the release Northern Light suplex, which looked very good. Dane with the stinger splash. Boogie fights out of the fireman's carry position. Boogie sends Dane shoulder first into the steel ring post. Boogie with clubbing blows to Dane's back. Then Dane denies the Gotch style pile driver. Dane hits, which is pretty much Boogie's finisher. Dane with a back body drop, then connects with the inside out lariat to pick up the win. Fun back and forth. Rare loss for Slice Boogie. He's been good since NWA restarted. But a loss here, which means, Doctor, very disappointing, Team Aldis and Team Melina are eliminated. So Team Treasure is gone because of this loss. Boo!
It's a very, very sad day in the wrestling world.
Very upset. But so
the National Treasure always finds a way.
He does. So with the win, the standings are in the A block, Team Camille and Idol with 10 points, Team Stevens and Terrell with 10 points. But because of the tiebreaker, Camille and Idol get the win in Block A. In Block B, Team Pope and Sky beat Team Treasure 14-9. So next week, the finals, Team Camidol and Team Pope and Velvet. So let's keep that in mind, Doctor, as we talk about our second episode of Power tonight, because I think that plays a big part in what I think will be some storylines for the next several weeks and into the fall and maybe into early winter.
No doubt.
I had a blast watching this episode of Power.
Yeah, I realized all the match was like, the show was over. It really moved quick.
Moved quick.
So when we got an extra Power this week, I was like excited because it was like that show went so fast. I mean, not to say some of the other Powers weren't good, but this one was just so action packed that it felt like I just turned it on and the show was over. So it was really moved. The flow of it was really nice. And probably one of the better Power episodes that we've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And like I said on the show last week, I wasn't very big on this whole tournament thing, but I have to say they did a better job this week, and I really enjoyed it. I don't know what they did that was better. I can't put my finger on it, but the show just seemed to flow so much better. And I wasn't as confused by all the rules and all that, so it just I don't know. I just enjoyed it more. Maybe I was in a better mood. Who knows?
Maybe you were. I know, right? Well, it's funny when you think that way that you're watching a wrestling show, and if you're in a shitty mood, you're not feeling it as well.
Well, today, sometimes I watch it, in the middle of the week. I usually don't get a chance to watch it live, but, but today I actually watched it, on Friday. So, obviously we're much better mood on a Friday.
That is true.
In the middle of the week. So maybe that was it. I don't know. But I really enjoyed the flow of the show. I really did. It was fun. And, maybe that the Kratos Tyrus match wasn't so great, but everything else was so good that that doesn't even bother me.
So we thought, Doctor, that this would be it. I would do our plugs, our Twitter, look ahead to next week, but no, we actually have more Power, because on Friday, the NWA on their YouTube page decided to drop an extra Power. A very special Power, because guess who opened the show? our favorite wrestler, Dr. G.
Oh, yeah.
The national treasure himself, the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis. Good evening, he says, and welcome to Extra Power. I'm Nick Aldis, the reigning, defending, undisputed, linear, legitimate, universally and historically recognized heavyweight champion of the world. I agree with all of those adjectives, don't you? And I am bringing this additional episode of our flagship show, NWA Power, to you, the fans, free on YouTube. And we are dubbing it Extra Power. Now, here's what's in store. Tonight, Jordan Clearwater, an exciting young talent who's been making waves recently through the NWA, will go one-on-one with former world's champion and a man I know very, very well, Mr. Tim Storm. But one of our commentators will be working tonight. Pope Tyrus, one-on-one for the television title. And folks, this one has big Lucky 7 implications, maybe even for yours truly. May Valentine will sit down for an exclusive one-on-one interview with Camille and my best buddy, Tom Latimer. And finally, your
reigning... You need to get the British accent down.
I know. We probably should have, like, Callum read this. Or, like, Ben Locke or somebody read this. And finally, your reigning, defending NWA World's Champion. I sound more like Lord Alfred. We'll face them... lace them up tight for an exhibition bout with one half of the team, The End, Odinson. And then Extra Power starts. And actually, we did not open with Into the Fire. We opened with the song that Billy Corgan's buddy did for the When Our Shadows Fall pay-per-view. So, different open. We're still using Into the Fire at the end of the show. Don't worry about it.
But just before we get into this show, you need to apologize to the kettle man that you said he should be doing the British accent because he's Scottish. So
no, I said that on purpose. Yeah. No, that wasn't an accident. I said it on purpose. Maybe I changed it to Scottish. What you know?
Maybe he'll give you a Claymore kick next time he sees you.
No, he won't. We love the kettle man, Callum McDoug. He's been quiet. He hasn't had to do. He'll be doing a Twitch feed next 1 week from tonight, or 2 weeks from tonight actually, and then he'll have a ton of Twitch the week after that. So the kettle man will be working a lot.
His body will be twitching by the time.
I know, pretty much. Yeah, I know, right? And we almost had a Twitch the following week. So anyway, we get to the desk. And who's sitting there but Joe Galli, Tim Storm, and not the real doctor of the National Wrestling Alliance, but the other guy. One-third of...
Hey there, beautiful people.
The only thing is I don't get... I do get upset, but I'm not as upset because... He likes Strictly Business.
Yeah, so. Dr. Robert Stinson, who is one-third of the This Is Pro Wrestling podcast, was doing commentary. Now, he is the one guy who would fit better on our show than on on the other show. And there is an open invitation for you, Doctor, the other doctor.
There is.
There is an open invitation for you to be welcomed with open arms. For the real home of Strictly Business here on the NWA Saturday special. Open invitation. If your guys start getting in your face about how you're not into the conspiracy theories, you are more than welcome to join us here on the Saturday special. In any event, he's on the commentary team for our opening match, which is Nick Aldis, our world's heavyweight champion, taking on Odinson, one half of The End, which means, of course, Paro. Brought him to the ring, and all of Strictly Business were at ringside. Tom Latimer, our national champion, Chris Adonis, and our world women's champion, Camille. Although I still find it fishy, Dr. G, that Chris Adonis still doesn't have a track jacket.
He doesn't.
You and I will have track jackets before Chris Adonis gets a track jacket.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Never know.
Yeah, something's going on there.
In any event, this was a pretty good match. I enjoyed this match quite a bit.
Anything that the National Treasure is on, I enjoy.
And I have to say that Nick Aldis was given a run for his money in this match. He was.
You know, he lets them feel good about themselves. And
yeah,
then,
that's what I think. You know, little charity never hurt anybody. We had a lot of outside
charitable
interference.
Guy.
Yeah, he is. He's very charitable. A lot of outside interference. I loved seeing all of Strictly Business there working things. They all get kicked out, which I thought was BS. I think only Paro should have been kicked out because he was really, you know, causing all of the problems. I agree with Dr. Stinson on that. Maybe he's a dentist. You know, you're the doctor of the NWA, but maybe he's like a podiatrist or something. You know, you think? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Odinson kicks Aldis in the face, then a springboard corkscrew European uppercut, which we're not sure if it's legal or not. I agree with Dr. Stinson on that. Odinson drops Aldis with a swinging netbreaker for two. Latimer puts Aldis' foot on the bottom rope. Paro starts brawling with Strictly Business. The referee ejects everybody from ringside. Aldis attacks Odinson from behind. Aldis with a forearm smash. Odinson delivers the pounce for a two count. He fights. Aldis fights out of the fireman's carry takeover, then hits a double leg takedown. Odinson uses his feet to create separation. Aldis sends Odinson shoulder first into the steel ring post, then connects with a flying elbow drop. But then Aldis makes Odinson tap out to the King's Cloverleaf. So, yeah. Solid match. Solid work by Strictly Business, because they are solid. All in all, good to see Nick Aldis wrestle. I think it's his first match since, I think, might be wrong, since When Our Shadows Fall. Well, on TV, of course, he wrestled Trevor Murdoch on that show down in Charlotte a couple weeks ago. What are your thoughts on the match? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I did too. And I like that they're making him a special attraction now, because
yep,
he is a special attraction. Well, so it makes it seem very important when he's on the show, again, because it is. And he hosted the show. He gave this guy a shot, but he had to show him exactly who the man is and who the boss is. So.
Right. Meanwhile, I have to say this. You know, I give Robert Stinson credit for going on there after being pushed around by Geraldo there and Tim Storm. But I got to tell you this, Mr. Stinson, where were your partners? You knew that you were going to be there on an island. Where were your pals there? Will, Martin, and Gary.
Were they hanging out with the beautiful people? The beautiful people. The beautiful people. The beautiful people.
Because I will tell you right now that if you, Dr. G, the true doctor of the National Wrestling Alliance, was at that broadcast table, you'd bet your hiney that I would be right behind you, backing you up 100% if Nancy Grace and shoe leather Tim Storm got in your way, kept cutting you off, not letting you have your say.
Actually, he probably would have just grabbed the headphones off his freaking head and just threw them aside.
Pretty much. And then I would have thrown him aside. And I would have booted him and Tim Storm, because we do have respect for Tim, former world's champion. But I would have sat on the other side of Tim Storm. How about that? Tim Storm in the middle, and the NWA Saturday Special on either side. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Beautiful people.
I would have had your back. Unlike that other show that didn't have their guys back. Just letting you know. Because if Strictly Business was going to be unfairly kicked out ringside, someone had to take care of the National Treasure. That's this guy right here.
It's true.
Right. Speaking of Tim Storm, our second match, he takes on Jordan Clearwater with his guy Black G's as his manager. Tim Storm's first match, I think since the tag match, right, that cost Trevor Murdoch is 30 days. God, that was back in, Jesus, early May. So this might be Tim Storm's first match legitimately in like 2 months. 3 months, probably. Two and a half.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Probably early May, I think, was when that episode of Power when they lost the six-man. Storm hammers down on the back of Clearwater's neck. Storm slams Clearwater in the chest. Storm with a forearm smash, a chop exchange. Following a snapmare takeover, Storm with a running boot, forearm exchange. Clearwater whips Storm across the ring. He drops Storm for a one count. Clearwater is mauling Storm in the corner, hits a couple of jawbreakers, then two stinger splashes. Following a snapmare takeover, Clearwater with a running neck snap for two. Storm reverses out of the Irish whip from Clearwater. Clearwater ducks a clothesline, then goes for a running crossbody block, but Storm counters with a fallaway slam for two. Storm applies a body scissors hold, then repeatedly Clearwater stomps on Storm's chest, then hits a twisting vertical suplex. Storm avoids the Midas touch, connects with the perfect Storm to pick up the victory, and afterwards Storm shakes Clearwater's hand. So Tim Storm gets the win. No surprise there, but not a bad match. And I'll tell you something, Dr. G. With every week, I get more impressed with Jordan Clearwater as a wrestler. keeps working hard. He's getting a chance to get some personality on camera. He's working with some of the best talent in the company at the moment. I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah, I did too. And I do think I think he definitely has a future in the company. Again, one of those guys I think we saw on those that UPW
or UWN. Oh, the prime time. Yeah,
UWN, whatever the hell it is.
Slop. Yeah.
But yep, I remember him being one of the highlights of that those shows. He and Slice Boogie.
Slice Boogie. So after the match, Mae Valentine had a sit down with Camille and Tom Latimer. Latimer calls Aaron Stevens a stooge and wants another shot at the tag team titles. They briefly discuss their upcoming wedding. They have a dog sitting between them, so that was good heel work there. Latimer believes that there's a conspiracy going on and Billy Corgan is trying to ruin Strictly Business, which, of course, you and I totally believe is true. We get an Austin Idol vignette and then a hilarious exchange between Idol and Velvet Sky as they pump up their Champion Series final this coming Tuesday. The quote of the whole thing was, "I'm madly in love with you, shutting the hell up." That was very funny. I enjoyed that. Hashtag Del Holler. Now, time to get a little consternation here, Doctor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we got some emotions that run wild after this one. Our final match of the show is actually a title match. The NWA World Television Championship on the line as your champion, the Pope, goes for the 7th of Lucky 7 against Tyrus. I thought this was kind of fishy. Like, this is an interesting match to have. Interesting match to have in the middle of the Champion Series. Sure.
Yeah, well.
Well, let me finish. Pope transitions.
It was inevitable that these two were going to fight for the championship.
Well, yeah. It was inevitable. The storyline hadn't finished. Pope beat him. Then they rest. This was their fourth match. Pope won the first one. Then they had that weird double countout thing. Then, of course, Tyrus won the non-title match at When Our Shadows Fall, which led to this. In the climax, Pope transitions into the figure forward leg lock from a chin lock. Tyrus grabs the bottom rope, which forces the break. Pope plays to the crowd, hits two stinger splashes, then drops Pope with a shoulder tackle. Tyrus sends Pope shoulder first into the steel ring post. Idol repeatedly drives Pope shoulder first into the ring post. Crowd's not liking that. Tyrus works on the left shoulder, then hits the exploder suplex. Tyrus goes for the Vader bomb, but Pope ducks out of the way. Pope with a diving splash through the ropes, then uppercuts Tyrus. Pope tees off on him, then hits a step up enziguri for a two count. Pope's hitting all the good moves in this match. Pope applies the sleeper hold. Tyrus backs Pope into the turnbuckles. Tyrus nearly runs into the ref. Pope delivers the Elijah Express, but the referee goes down in the process. Pope drops Idol with the bionic elbow, but then Tyrus levels Pope with a body avalanche and then connects with the heart punch and gets the three count. Yes, folks, we have a new NWA World Television Champion, and it is Tyrus. Sean Kidd is not thrilled. I know you're not thrilled. I'm not thrilled. Number one, because, of course, the Pope fell one match short of getting the lucky seven. But number two, it has been well documented that none of us are really giant Pope fans. Giant Tyrus fans. I think he is still not in wrestling shape. He's still gassed, like, literally 3 minutes into matches.
I think
yeah, I was a little bummed here. I was a little bummed here.
I think the Pope is going to have is going to go on to a bigger storyline, and I think it's going to be with the National Treasure.
I agree. Are we happy that it was the Tyrus that beat him? No. But, and this is my opinion, so Sean Kidd, tri-host of the exemplary show here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, NWA Crock and Roll, new episode next week. This coming week, I should say. Same thing. I think that the Pope will win. His team will win the Champions Series this Tuesday, which means, because as you know, the champion gets either a title shot or a chance to go a year of immunity from everybody on the opposite team for his belt. Well, obviously at the moment, the Pope does not have a belt, which makes me think this will be how the Pope gets into a world title opportunity with the National Treasure, Nick Aldis. And I think we start seeing the seeds of that storyline grow, Doctor, between now and whenever the next NWA pay-per-view is, which I think will be sometime in December. As for the TV title, I think Tyrus is a perfect heel champion. He's a fucking scumbag. He's an unlikable, you know, heaving sloth. He's got a pain in the ass for a manager. Perfect heel TV champion.
I love Austin Idol, though.
Oh, I do too, but that's my point. He's an awesome heel pain in the ass manager.
He is.
But I think it's time. I think it's time for the TV title to be transitioned in terms of a new storyline. I think Tyrus is the perfect bully heel douche to be TV champion. And I think we'll start seeing a new babyface emerging to begin a new program between now and over the next several months.
Agreed. So, now, what did you think of the interview?
I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was good heel work. No problem with it at all. I enjoyed it. I like Austin.
You know,
big time.
I think Velvet Sky really came out in that interview. I thought her personality was much better than when she's announcing during the matches.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. I agree with you 100%.
I actually enjoyed her.
And
Austin Idol's just, he's just on top of it. He doesn't miss a beat.
You are absolutely correct.
You know, a lot of these guys and gals can learn a lot from him. He's a good promo. He really is. And he knows how to get heat.
Yeah, I agree. And there's your bonus episode of NWA Power. So two for the price of one here this week on the Saturday special. If you want to watch that episode, feel free. It's on the NWA YouTube page. Maybe it'll motivate you if you haven't bought the Power package on Fight TV.
We need all our NWA fans out there to keep the company going.
Yep, you
know,
I agree.
They're putting out a pretty good product. You know, support it if you can. If you financially can, do your thing and show your support and show your love for the NWA.
Yep.
But it's nice they put this nice show on YouTube, kind of, again, to promote things. And Fight TV, it's $5 a month. And you get a power every week. And, you know, the pay-per-views are pretty affordable.
Yeah, I agree. So great episode of Power. And before we wrap up, Doctor, why don't we give the fans an update on the two cards in St. Louis, because we do have some matches. So here's the update. Of course, on Saturday, the 28th, is NWA Empower, the all-women's pay-per-view. Camille is defending the World Women's Championship against Layla Hirsch. We found that out on Dynamite this past week. Or was it Dark? I think it was Dark, actually. Or maybe it was Dynamite. I don't know, one of those two. There is a there'll be a tag team match for the inaugural NWA Women's Tag Team Championship. So we will get that decided on that night. Melina will get a crack at the Impact Knockouts Championship, either my beloved Deonna Purrazzo or Fabi Apache, because they're having a match on Impact. So
they're definitely that's working with Impact.
Yep. And Chelsea Green will be taking on the winner of the Invitational Cup Finals. A 9-woman tournament featuring the best up-and-coming female talent in the world, where the winner of the tournament will earn an NWA World Women's Championship match the next night. Your participants so far are Tootie Lynn, Jamie Senegal, Chelsea Green, yes, former WWF Chelsea Green. She gets to be the last participant in the main event. And Lady Frost. So 4 down, 5 to be announced, Doctor, for that match. So there we go. So that's so far. Then, of course, the following night is the NWA 73. Camille or Layla Hirsch will defend the women's title against the winner of the Invitational. Mickey James will be wrestling somebody. And, of course, the other announcement, and I told you, I called it, Nick Aldis will defend Sweet Charlotte, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. The final shot, Trevor Murdoch. He loses. He retires. I told you that was going to happen. Your boy called it. The Podfather of Baker Street called that stip. Title versus career at NWA 73.
Interesting. And I know Sean Kidd's not happy about the match, but with it being in St. Louis, the whole Harley thing with Trevor, the way they built the storyline, you know what? You know it's most likely going to come to an end here. So, yeah, would we prefer to see a different opponent? Yeah, but you know what? I'm willing to give it a shot. Why not? I think the rest of the matches on the card are going to be great. I think this will be enticing to see what they do here with all this. Because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, all this is definitely the winner. But who knows? You know, it's in St. Louis. Who knows what they're going to do? Now, will that upset some people? Because if Trevor becomes the champion, if Trevor were to win the championship, I think it would be a short run. It would be a transition and building another storyline for Nick Aldis, but I still think Nick's going to win. But if for some reason Trevor were to win, I don't think it's going to be a long run.
Mm. So there's
what do you
your,
think?
I think he's losing. I don't think there's any chance he wins. I think this is going to be like a farewell to the fans. You know, I think he gets a whole, you know, farewell in front of, you know, in the building that his idol Harley Race made famous. But I do not think that this is the show where you end Aldis's epic 1,000-day-plus reign as the national treasure. Having said that, I think
hope
Sean,
you're right.
I think we're all a little hard on Trevor. I don't think he's not Tyrus, for Christ's sakes. So
no.
So there's your updated cards for the shows. So Doctor, they are building the two shows. So we have to admit that.
They are.
They're doing a better job of that than they were.
They're doing a much better job, yes.
Yes, of building the pay-per-views. So there you go. There's your episode of the NWA Super Saturday Special. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather. I changed it up a little bit. At Scott C. Podfather. You can follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. You can follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. We had a great week. New episode of Row One Seat One. We've got plenty more. I've been enjoying the Pro Wrestling Love series that Marty Sleaze is doing with Kelly Nelson, counting down their 25 favorite matches in the WWF from 1978 to 1987. That's kind of in your wheelhouse, Doctor. But I'm going to have to listen. I've been listening to him. I'll listen to him again. I think you should listen to it. Marty's awesome. Marty Sleaze, one of my favorite guys, and he does a great show. We've got a lot coming up this week. New Place to Be podcast coming up this Monday. The PIC, Mr. Azzaro and I with Johnny D. We'll be talking a little SummerSlam 92. Remember that show, Doctor? Wembley. We will also have a new episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. You guys, new episode of NWA Croc and Roll. And a new episode, a returning episode of The Main Event, hopefully. Right now, it looks like it's looking good. So have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next Friday. We'll see who wins the NWA Champions Series this coming Tuesday on Power. I am Scott. He is the Doctor. And Mr. Stinson, you're not.
Ciao.
To the past.